My favorite line in that song: "You deserve a fiery love that won't ignore your sacrifice," because of the preceding line, says it's more than just having our souls stirred for a time and never truly changed. He paid more. He paid too high a price for us just to get stirred up and not really get changed. Well, I'm so very thankful. So why'd you choose to sing that song, "I Love My Church Sunday"? Because I'm very aware, if it wasn't for the price he paid, we would have no church today. If it wasn't for Jesus' death on the cross, we would not have a Lighthouse Baptist Church. Let's take our Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5 with that in mind. I'm going to preach a sermon to you today that's entitled this, "Why Love My Church?" It's "I Love My Church Sunday," but the title is, "Why Love My Church?" Why would I love my church? It's a good question, and we'll address that in just a moment. I'll have you stand when we do read the reading, but for right now, I want you to consider this. I think it's been good already being in God's house this morning, hasn't it? We've come together and we've sung together. I'm not going to preach on this morning, but let's not ignore the corporate worship that we do when we sing. That is everybody all together singing praises to our wonderful God. Man, let's make that a highlight of our service. But I love getting together to sing, to worship God, be a part in the giving and a special offering, even to watch a fun video, some fun memories. Isn't that just great? I think that's wonderful. I like getting together with people. I like getting together with friends to watch a Steelers football game. Amen. That's a lot of fun. I like going hiking up on the mountain with some friends. That's just cool. When you get a group of people together to go hiking up on the mountain, that's just fun. I like spending time with my friend to enjoy a good movie or share a great meal. So many memories made in things like that. As much as I love those things, I still believe there is no greater purpose and no greater connection than getting together with my friends on purpose to worship Jesus. And that's one of my favorite things to do, is get together with my friends to worship you. And that's what we do here at church, by the way, in case you know what church was all about. Maybe you've been confused with some of the different ideas of church that have been out there, but in its essence, it's friends getting together to worship Jesus. That's what it is. It's a called out assembly of believers. I love my church Sunday. I'm going to address maybe an unasked question. Why love my church? It may be that you have too many other things to love. And that's very possible in this world, isn't it? There's a lot of things out there that want your love, and they're not bad. They're really not. I think it's a good thing to love your family, don't you? Amen. Amen. It's a good thing to love your family. If you're struggling with that, I'll show you some scripture afterward. It's a good thing to love your family. I think it's a good thing to love your job. Maybe you're not the place where you can love your job, but isn't it a wonderful thing when you can love where you work? I think that's a good thing. It's a good thing to love a lot of things, but maybe you say, "I love so many things, preacher. I just feel like I don't have time and energy and effort to love the people in my church." It may be that the church doesn't do things the way that you do. You might say, "You know what, I just, you know, this person over here does something a little different. This person over here has a little bit different of a standard. This person over here, well, they like to do that, or they don't like to do this. And I just don't think I can love people because they're not just like me." I'm not going to really answer that question in the sermon, so maybe I can give you a brief help on that. Everywhere you go, you'll never find somebody just like you. And I love that. I think it's great to have some unique people, some variety in life. If everybody was like me, it'd be a pretty boring world, and my wife just wouldn't know which one to pick. Anyways, that was for free. But you know what? You're not going to find a place where everybody's just like you. You don't want to find a place where everybody's just like you. It could be that you are afraid to love because you don't want to be hurt. And I would say that's a very real possibility, isn't it? Maybe you've been there before where you have loved and invested and made yourself vulnerable, and in the future you found that, got hurt by that person. Might be a handful of reasons that keep you from loving your church with all your being. So I'm going to challenge you today to love your church. I'm going to give you three very simple yet profound reasons to do so. The first is found in Ephesians chapter 5. So would you please stand with me as we read God's Word, Ephesians chapter 5. Starting in verse number 22, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying to us by God's Word. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." There's no amens there. There usually are not. That's okay. We'll keep reading. That says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Pastor, why are we talking about husbands and wives? You'll see at the end of this passage, he says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. So I want you to pay attention where he talks about Christ and the church. So it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Husbands. So we saw a picture of the church submitting to Christ, like the wife submits to the church. But then he says this to the husbands. which I honestly believe is the more difficult of the two commands given in this passage. He said, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And I'll be honest, sometimes we men, we nourish our flesh a little too much. We'll leave that one off to the side. It says in verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. And he's trying to let us understand, he's using marriage as an illustration of how Jesus loved the church so very much. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I ask that you bless this message. I pray, Lord, that you would teach us from your word this morning and help us to see three reasons why we should love our church. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. I'll ask you to be seated. By the way, I want to say welcome to the youngest person in our congregation today, and that would be little Uriah Bullock. So if Brian and Alicia, I'm surprised. Usually, you know, a kid gets born, it's a couple weeks before they get there, and Alicia's like, yeah, we're in the house for like 24 hours. Okay, and she's out, and they've got a little baby with them, so go and say hi. And it's just a beautiful, it's like that big. And I love when they're newborn, they're just so little. But we congratulate them. At the same time, I want you to be praying for Katrina, Ryan and Katrina. Katrina is actually in labor right now. So if you would pray for Katrina, say, man, that's pretty cool. A couple babies just a few days apart. Amen. And it looks like that new when we get that new nursery up and running, it's going to be well used. And that's a wonderful thing. What are the three reasons to love my church, Pastor? Well, number one is this. Love the church because Jesus loved the church. I said love the church because Jesus loved the church. There's a lot of videos and blogs and things out there that talk about how, hey, I love Jesus, but I don't love religion. I love Jesus, but I don't love church. There's a growing movement, in fact, of, it's not very large, but it is growing. It's what they call home church, where people stay home. And the dad calls himself the pastor, and the dog is the treasurer, you know, he walks around with an offering plate, and things like that. And they have home church. And they say, well, we'll just be at home and do church that way, and it'll be just fine. Or some that would refer to a YouTube preacher as their pastor and their living room as their sanctuary and their kids as missionaries, you know, and it's all part under the authority of their home church. And I'll be honest, that can be a little bit attractive. I mean, wouldn't it just be nice to be able to roll out of bed and plop down on your sofa and boom, I'm in church and I'm just watching my preacher preach on TV. Well, there's a little bit of attraction to that, I'm not going to lie, especially if you can eat pancakes with maple syrup while you're there at church. Now that's something, wouldn't it be? Although much of our Christian life takes place outside of these walls, I'm very aware of that, and I hope that you are too. Let us not forget that Jesus Christ died for the church. Not the building, the people. And not just the people individually, but the people collectively as they meet together in what God calls the church. He established the church in Matthew 18. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. So the question, who built the church? Well, Jesus said he was going to, so I believe that he did. Amen. Jesus built the church. All throughout the New Testament, God is speaking to churches. Did you know that? That the book of Ephesians that we just read is to the church at Ephesus. The book of Philippians, to the church at Philippi. Book of Thessalonians, the church at Thessalonica. You're like, now those weird names are starting to make sense. And that's why a lot of these are written to churches. A large part of our New Testament is. I will say that although religion, many times the way it's presented, can be a man-made construct, the religion that God talks about in James chapter 1 is His idea. James chapter 1 and verse 27, it says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That God's idea of religion has to do with taking care of those who can't care for themselves, and to keep yourself pure from the world, from the anti-God thinking that is out there. So if God talks about religion, certainly there's something to it. But I will say this, that I think a lot of people have gotten it wrong over the years. I think a lot of people have gotten church wrong. And I'll even go so far to say this, we may not do church just perfect. Did you know that? We're all human beings too. And this pastor that you have, I just might make mistakes. Believe it or not. My wife believes it a lot quicker than you do. But you know, and people in this church are going to offend other people. It's true. That's just the way that it is. We are human beings. And although some men and women have displayed their humanity over the years, that's a nice way of saying it, isn't it? Displaying their own flesh, their carnality, that doesn't mean that the church is broken. I want to say that again. Just because some people have displayed their carnality and they have sinned, whether it be a pastor, whether it be someone else in church, someone that's offended you, that doesn't mean that church is broken. That Jesus says, I will found the church, I love the church, He gave Himself for the church, the church isn't broken. A lot of times it's us that are broken. In fact, I'll say every time it is, and that we need to live the way that God would have us to live. It also doesn't mean that God is done working in the church. As we grow closer to Jesus, we are going to love what He loves, and we're going to hate what He hates. That's just the way that it works. It happens. The more in love you fall with Him, and the more you understand that He is worthy to be praised, He is worthy to be worshipped. Oh, we could take some time and lift up the name of Jesus right here. But if you know who Jesus is, as you understand who Jesus is, and you see what He loves, you just want to love what He loves. If you see what He hates, you want to hate what He hates. You want to be like Jesus. You want to be conformed into His image. How are you going to do that? Well, you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the Bible says in Romans 12:2. I think every Christian, please listen, every Christian ought to have on their heart a desire to be more like Jesus. Amen. Isn't that pretty? Wouldn't we say that's a kind of a given if for a person who calls themselves a Christian? If you call yourself a Christian, you should easily be able to say, I want to be more like Jesus. One way that you're going to be more like Jesus is to love what He loves, and He loves the church. A sign of spiritual maturity is loving God's people, regardless of how broken they might be. You know, in John chapter 13, 34, and 35, God says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. Then He says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another. So how does the world tell that we're Christians? How do we grow in the Lord? What's one thing that we can do? God says, you have to love what I love. And one thing He said to love is one another. Don't you know that's the church? Did you know that? That the church is God's people getting together to worship Him? God designed it that way. He wanted us to get together. Why? Because some of us are introverts and we wouldn't do it any other way. But God told us to do it. Some of us kind of want to mind your own business and not help and not invest. That's just the way that we are. There's nothing wrong with that. That's just personality. But God says there's certain parts of your personality you need to overcome, get together with God's people, invest in other people, and love one another. Jesus said, I love the church. Then He said, I'm commanding you to love other people. I'm commanding you to love the church. Love one another. Love God's people. Church is not about getting gold stars for attendance. Nope. It's not fulfilling some religious requirement. Nope. It's about loving God's people, meeting together with God's people to help, encourage, exhort, and worship together. There's a lot in there. I'm not going to unpack that statement this morning. We'll get there in our Sunday night series, though, in the book of Acts, all the things the church is supposed to do. Loving Jesus very simply means loving the church. John 15 and verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Jesus wants us to love one another. Pastor, I can't. There's too many hypocrites in church. Too many hypocrites in church. I would have to agree with you, by the way. In fact, I will go so far as to say every one of us is a hypocrite to some extent. A hypocrite is someone who portrays something that's not real. That's what it means. Kind of got its origin from the people who would get up on stage and wear a mask. That's where they got the name hypocrite from. And so we say, well, they're hypocrites. They pretend to be somebody that they're not. And I would have to say everybody does, including you. Certainly, you're not the only non-hypocrite in the community. So someone says, oh, I can't handle it because of all the hypocrites. Well, I say, well, you're handling it just fine at work. You're handling it just fine at home. You're handling it just fine when you look in the mirror. And I say, we have to recognize that all of us are faulty people. And listen, it doesn't mean that we have to, you're never going to find a perfect church because there's no such thing as perfect people. So God says, love the church. It doesn't mean love a perfect church. Love the church. Well, I love church because Jesus loved the church. What's another reason that I love the church? The second reason you have to love the church is because the church will help you grow spiritually. The church will help you grow spiritually. Church is simply a gathering of God's people assembled together for encouraging, exhorting, and equipping one another. Well, those are some fun words to say together. Encouraging, exhorting, and equipping. It's a place to learn from God's Word. How do I do that? Well, from right now, you're hearing the preaching of God's Word. In fact, we have a Bible study groups. We're going to be starting a Bible study connection group split here. It's going to be the 14th of May. That's the week after our revival meetings. We have Fellowship Sunday next week. We have revival the week after, and Missionary Hoover's going to speak to us in the Bible study hour. And then we're going to split that next week into Bible connection groups. And the purpose is for us to get together and study the Bible for a whole hour. Well, you know, we kind of chat for a little bit, but for about 40 minutes, we get together, and we're just going to study the Bible. Why? Because church is a place, ought to be a place where we can learn. Why do you call them the Bible study connection group? Because it's also a place where we can connect. Our banner is kind of hidden by our projector screen right now, but you've noticed that our theme is C3. Caring, connecting, and communicating. One way we're going to connect one to another, see each other's needs, help each other out, connect each other to Jesus Christ is if we get together. So we're going to do that. We're going to get together in these Bible study groups on Sunday morning at 10 before we meet here at 11. We're going to have a great time. Why would we do that? Well, it's a time where we can learn from God's Word. It's a place to serve God's people. Don't you know that church is a wonderful place full of opportunity? If you follow the church website, the blog post, or on Facebook, you'll notice the article that was written. There's so many opportunities to care, to connect, to communicate Christ. How do I communicate Christ? I'll tell you one thing you can do. You can run to that track team ministry table on the way out. You can pick up a mat, pick up a pile of track, then grab somebody else in church and say, hey, will you go with me sometime this week so I can go tell somebody about Jesus? Or I can invite him to church. Maybe I don't know all, I haven't memorized all the Romans Road, but at least I can give them the gospel in a track. Amen. That'd be a good thing to do. Opportunities to care. I don't know how to, I can't do anything to care. I'm going to give you one thing you can do to care. Will you listen? One thing you can do to care for our community. Would you go home today and take this afternoon, after you eat, before you take your nap, would you go through your closets and pull out some things you don't wear anymore that are still in good condition and bring them here? You see all these bags and things piling up over here in the foyer. It's great to see. Buy some canned goods on the way to church tonight. Would you drop some of those things off? Why would I do that? Because it's an opportunity to care. To care for our community. We're going to take those at the end of the month, and we're going to distribute them to the four shelters that we have listed, and they're going to receive a great blessing from the people of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Why? Because we care. And we want to make sure that we do that. So it's a way for us to serve God's people and even serve our community. What a blessing that is. Also, it's a place to worship Christ corporately. Well, I worship at home, and you should. You've got to get together with God's people and worship together. There's something powerful about meeting together with God's people. I remember what Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in their midst. Get together with God's people. There's a reason he said in Hebrews 10, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We have to every single day, even more and more, have a stronger and stronger desire to get with God's people, to meet together, to love one another. It's going to help you grow spiritually. I'm not going to go through all of these passages, but I'm going to mention them. So if you'd like to write them down for reference points, I hope you do that. But the church is a place to pray one for another. James chapter 5 talks about that. Bring our tithes and offerings. Malachi chapter 3, Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 16. We come together to worship corporately by giving corporately. We can worship God through singing. You can read about that here in Ephesians 5 and then in Colossians. There we are, Colossians chapter 3. It's also a place to hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word. That's all over the Scriptures, but you can look at 1 Corinthians 1, talk about the foolishness of preaching, and Titus 1, and 2 Timothy 4, where he's charging some young men to be preachers of the Word. The church is a place to overcome problems through the unity of the Spirit of God by the grace of God. You see that in the previous chapter, in Ephesians chapter 4, talks about that. Philippians chapter 2. The church is to send out preachers and teachers of the gospel. Did you know that? The church is the authorizing structure, is the construct that God created to teach, train, and ordain preachers of the gospel to go out and tell somebody about the Lord. Maybe you may not know this, especially if you're new with us, but even before I came, there was a family here, the Shaner family, and they were sent out of Lighthouse Baptist Church to go start a church in Lusk, Wyoming. And that's where they are now. They're holding services this morning. That's what we're supposed to be doing. It's supposed to be sending out, authorizing preachers and training them and equipping them. That's part of what the church does. The church is supposed to baptize and teach those who are saved. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. That's what we're supposed to do. You may have heard it said that the church is not a social club for the righteous, but it is a hospital for sinners. And that's there's a lot of truth in that. I'm going to take it a step farther if I can. In this hospital, it's not quite a hospital in the sense that you don't get discharged. You don't come here, get fixed up, and go on your merry way. I think it'd be better to say that the church provides the physical therapy needed for your day-to-day walk in the world. Something we need on a regular basis. God designed it that way. I know some people say, well, I don't need it. I'm strong enough of a Christian. I've got my own ideas, and I believe that I'm right on so many things. And brother and sister, I'm so very thankful for your understanding of the Scriptures. I truly am. But I will also say this, that God put within us a desire, even if it is shadowed by your shyness, but there is a desire to be around God's people. And there is something special that happens when people get around people. There's something special that happens when believers get around believers. There's something special that happens when believers pray one for another. There's something special that happens when believers encourage one another, when they sing with each other, when they exhort one another. Something special that happens, and God put that in us, and He wants to see that grow. D.L. Moody once said that church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man. I think he's right. Say, I want to be a disciple of Christ, I'm going to do it all on my own. No, we got to love our church because Jesus loved. We also need to love our church because it will help us grow spiritually. Now, some people say, you know, preacher, I don't know about that. I think you need to grow spiritually first before you can even understand the church, and you really got to grow spiritually so that you will love the church. Well, that's possible, but the church is going to help you grow spiritually so you can love the church. That's what it's for. But pastor, is the church the solution to all problems? Of course not. Jesus Christ is the solution to all problems. But He's the one that founded the church. He gave us a structure to help us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to help us grow spiritually. I'm not against any of these things that I'm about to mention, but I'm just going to say, Jesus didn't found YouTube. I must say, there's nothing wrong with YouTube. I like YouTube from time to time, but Jesus didn't found you. That was not His purpose for us to grow spiritually. Jesus didn't found Facebook. Oh, we know that, preacher. I'm not against Facebook. I have a Facebook account. It's just more of my wife's than mine, but that's okay. People still send me pictures of otters and stuff. I don't know. Anyways, you know, but Jesus didn't found Facebook. Jesus didn't found the internet. Jesus didn't found all of these things that we could use for our growth. Jesus founded the church. In a world without internet, in a world without many of the advances that we have today, the church still works. And in a world where we do have the internet and we do have the advances today, the church still works. Because there's something that can never be replaced. I've read some books on this and had some good talks with some very learned men on this subject, but there's something that never replaces the organic nature of people. He said, you know why people are, I think he was quoting a statistic, there's an explosion in dog ownership. I said, you think, he said, and one of the statisticians, the social commentator said about this, the reason there's more people owning dogs, because there's more people that long for the desire of a flesh and blood warm thing to touch. Because they're touching so many electronics all the time. There's just nothing else to touch and to be warm and fuzzy. So they own a dog to realize there's something else that's real in life. It's interesting. Now, that's just social commentators on that, but I will say this. There's nothing wrong with technology. You have to use it to the glory of God. But I will say this, that church works with or without it. Church is timeless. Some argue that they can grow in Christ without the church. Now, like I said, you can, but you can only grow to a certain point. Why? Because you can't follow many of Christ's commands without the church. A lot of what He said to do involves the church. And like I said before, love for Jesus is only going to bring you to love the church. Loving the church is only going to bring you to love Jesus even more. How does that work? It's a mystery. But I know if I love Jesus, I'm going to love the church. And as I love the church, I'm going to love Jesus. It goes hand in hand. So love the church because Jesus loved the church. Number two, love the church because it will help you grow spiritually. And number three, perhaps the greatest need, love the church because so many people need your love. Because so many people need your love. Look at Philippians chapter 2, if you would. It's just if you're in Ephesians 4, you only have to flip a couple pages over. In Philippians chapter 2, in verse number 1, he says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, puffing myself up, but in lowliness of mind, please get this, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. You get a great example as you continue on of Jesus Christ who did this very thing. Last year in August, this year I'm going in September, to participate in an activity that's called a GORUCK activity. GORUCK was designed by a former Special Forces fellow, and he decided he wanted to get these tough GORUCKs, these rucksacks, these bags that are tough. And he designed a physical activity for people to go on, and it really took off like wildfire. And so me and a friend of mine, who has probably just as few brains as I do, we decided to go and torture ourselves with this event. So we put on a pack, a rucksack with 40 pounds in it, and we were under the instruction of a cadre. And this cadre has served in the Special Forces and in the United States military. And he was the one that was marching us around all night long. We started at 9 o'clock at night, didn't get done until 9 o'clock in the morning. And we went, I think, 15 to 20 miles or whatever. We went up and down mountains, literally had to find our way by compass, had to find our way by dead reckoning, and all kinds of fun stuff. Just great. Did more push-ups and burpees and sit-ups and running than I think I ever cared to do in a month. I did all in that night. And I'll know their purpose of it was also to teach us some of the lessons the military teaches one another. I will never forget, I don't think, and it makes sense on paper, but it really made sense at this point in time. It was about halfway through the night. We just got done carrying. We had a pallet loaded with, I don't know, probably 300-400 pounds of material on top of this pallet. And we'd have three of us on each side of the pallet carrying it. Doesn't sound bad until you go about, I think it was 8 or 9 kilometers we carried that. And we're carrying that thing and trying to switch off and rotate guys, and we're exhausted. I'm not just me. Some of these guys who are in shape are exhausted. And we're tired, and we're sitting. He's allowed us to sit. We had very few sit moments in that time. We're sitting and waiting. And then he comes and he talks to us. He shares us a story. Pretty cool story. He shared them with us all night. But then he shared that story, and he got done, and he said, I want you to remember something. He says, if you'll learn anything from this, learn this. He said, when your feet are hurting and you can't take one more step. He said, when your lungs are about to explode and you're trying to gasp more air in. He said, when you feel like you're going to stop and quit. He said, look to the guy next to you and ask him how he's doing. You know what? I did that, and it's amazing. One of their phrases on one of their GORUCK t-shirts, and I bought the shirt, it said this, it's not about you. He said, one of the greatest ways to be able to complete a difficult task is to look and help somebody else. You'll forget about the pain in your feet. You'll forget about the pain in your lungs because you're worried about someone else. Sounds an awful lot like look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Bear you one another's burdens. Remember one time we were going up a mountain that night, later after he had told us that comment, we were going up that mountain. It was just before the break of day. We got to see the sunrise from the top of the mountain. And we're climbing up the mountain, very, very much like some of the steep parts on the bridle trail, not quite. There was no trail. We were making our own. And we were traveling up that, and one fellow hurt his ankle and he fell down. I just reached over and I'm hurting. I mean, I don't think I can take another step. I grabbed his pack, which is another 40 pounds, and I put it on the front of me, and I had 40 pounds on the back and 40 pounds on the front. And I totally forgot about how much everything was hurting because I thought, I got to help this guy get up to the top. Made a huge difference. Maybe you've experienced something like that in your life. What does this have to do with church, preacher? Everything. Everything. A lot of times we're talking about our spiritual needs and our spiritual growth. We need that for sure. We need to pay attention to it. Talk about what I want in a church, what I need. I wish people would do things my way. I wish people would paint it my color. I wish people would handle things this way and my way. I tell you what, so many times we get so focused on ourselves, it's good to come to church and ask somebody else if we can be a blessing to them. It's good to come to church and say, hey, can I do anything for you this week? Hey, what can I pray for you about this week? Should we pray for ourselves? Absolutely. I think you do. I think you need to pray for wisdom. You need to pray for strength. Absolutely. But we need to be praying for other people. We can't just have a centered, focused mindset. So many times people talk about, well, I have the right to do this and I can do this if I well please. I'm telling you what, we sure lose sight of the fact that there's people out there that need us. There's people in this room that need you. I'm not that much of a contributor. You need to be. I'm trying to be mean or harsh. There's people that need you. And church isn't just a place for us to get fed. It's a place for us to help, encourage, exhort. Exhort's a strong word, by the way. Exhort's not just saying, boy, you sure look nice today. That's encouragement. You can say that. That's a friendly thing to say. Exhorting is kind of sharpening someone. You know, going up to somebody and say, hey, you've been growing in the Lord this week? I was talking to the men's group. Sometimes if someone says that to me, I almost think it's an attack. What do you think? I'm not reading my Bible or something? Kind of get bristly, don't we? You know, I mean, that's just the truth of it. Someone says, hey, have you been in your Bible this week? Well, of course I have. Have you? You know, that's the way we want to respond. The Bible says in the church there ought to be some exhortation among you. I'd be able to walk around and exhort one another to do good works. People say, hey, why don't you come with me to Men of Courage? Hey, why don't you come with me? We're going to go pass out tracts. Hey, come with me. We're going to go down to the shelter and volunteer at the homeless shelter for a while. Why don't you come with me? That's exhortation. Encouraging one another good works. Instead of us saying, oh, stop it. You don't know my schedule. Oh, stop assuming that I've just got as much time as you do. Oh, stop thinking I don't do spiritual things. Oh, let's not have that attitude. Love each other because we need to be loved. And recognize that you need to be loved. Let other people love you. Let other people help you. Let's not have a defensive spirit. An open spirit. Loving the church doesn't mean loving the doors, doesn't mean loving the carpet, loving the event calendar. It's not loving the website or loving the yearly theme. It's not loving the treasurer or the deacon or the Sunday school teacher positions. Loving the church is loving the people next to you. It is loving the treasurer, not the position, but the person. The deacon, the Sunday school teacher. It's loving the people that are sitting next to you right now. And the people maybe you haven't ever sat next to when you're here in church. Every one of us. It's loving the people in front of you, loving the people behind you. Oh, if you only remember one short statement from the sermon, would you remember this? Church is people. That's what church is. Church is people. We could accurately be called the Lighthouse Baptist Christians that get together. We could. Wouldn't fit on the sign, so we won't do it. But we could accurately be called that. We're the Christians that get together. That's what church is. We're Christians that get together. Man, we get mad when churches aren't perfect, but since churches are people, can we really get justifiably upset that people aren't perfect? Now, hey, sometimes you say, well, there's a reason that I get upset about this. They actually did something wrong. The Bible has a solution for that, too. Go figure. Because you go up to them and say, hey, this is what you did wrong. Let's deal with this. Let's get this worked out. Pastor, I could never talk to someone face-to-face. I'd much rather get on Facebook and blast them. Let's be careful. So let's go to someone. If they're doing something wrong, go say, hey, you're doing something wrong. You've offended me. Let's make this right. I don't know. That sounds like you almost have an atmosphere of love for that even to work. I know. And we ought to develop that. An atmosphere of love. Someone comes to you and says, hey, you've offended me. The first thing we ought to do is say, I'm so sorry. What can I do to fix it? That should be our attitude. Not, well, you probably deserved it. What'd I do? And we want to have an attitude of love, an attitude of humility and submission. I already mentioned, church is a bunch of hypocrites. Well, all of us are. We all need God's grace. I mentioned exhortation. Whether somebody challenges, exhortation basically can be called it challenging you to grow closer to Christ, challenging you to be conformed more to Christ's image. What is a challenge to put off a damaging habit? Maybe someone says, hey, you know, I've noticed this. I think I'd like to help you. I'd like to pray for you and maybe get a little bit more involved in helping you get rid of this bad habit of yours. You could just get offended. Why? I don't need no help. I don't know why that's the noise I think people make when you talk to them, right? Or you could say, hey, brother, thanks so much. I appreciate your prayers. Maybe there's not room right now for them to be able to come in and help you. And maybe you say, but you know, you can't pray for me. Why don't you ask me next week how I'm doing? That would help. Maybe it's a challenge to, or a promise to pray as you attempt to follow Christ in a specific area. Maybe it's an encouragement to keep on going when times are tough. I can't tell you how many times someone's given me an encouragement just when I needed it. And you'll never know. This side of heaven, probably. Sometimes I really needed encouragement. Someone came up to me and gave me a handshake and told me they were thinking of me and praying for me. Someone sent me a text or an email saying, we're praying for you, preacher. I can't tell you. I tell you, it's not just a preacher that needs encouragement. We all do. Let's think of each other. I'm telling you what, any way you can. I'm going to say things maybe you don't hear preachers say, but friend each other on Facebook, would you? And send some encouraging notes to each other. Get each other's texts, get your phone numbers and send a text message to your church family. Tell them you love them. You know, we're not supposed to live a little island all week and then just get together on Sundays. Help each other out. Get involved. Love one another. The church is most effective when there is honesty, transparency, and love abounding. Let's strive to make that happen. Take a little, put your toe in the water. Try something a little bit. Try something. Maybe walk up to someone. Maybe say, I don't think I could walk up to someone and say, man, you're doing it wrong. That's kind of rough, right? Maybe walk up to someone and say, hey, put my toe in the water here. Is there anything you think that I could do differently that would help me grow closer to Christ? Let's put myself out there, preacher. That is. Vulnerability is always involved when there's love involved. Maybe ask somebody. It doesn't have to be the preacher. It could be someone else, a Christian that you know is walking with the Lord. An accountability buddy, a friend, a family member, so to speak. A church family. Those that say they love Jesus but not church, please forgive me for my bluntness here. They're saying that they love themselves. That's just not very nice. Think about it, though. To love church means to love Jesus and to love others as you seek to draw closer to Christ. So if you don't love church, that means you don't love others in the very strictest sense of it. Not the others that God loves, the church. I love Jesus, but I don't love church. Well, stop thinking about the religious hierarchy of it all and the way churches have messed up in the time past and the function, the program, and the calendar. No, think about the people. Church is people. To say I don't love church, to say I don't love others, I'm only interested in loving myself and getting out of Christianity what I can get out of it for me. Oh, let's be careful, Christian. So my challenge to you today is this. Love your church. God has brought you here to Lighthouse Baptist Church, so I'm going to ask you today to recommit to love one another to the very fullest of your ability. It might be that you've been doing this for years. I thank you so much for that. There's people that have been here long before I got here 3 years ago that have been working and laboring and loving here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm not shy to say this. It's because of those people that have been faithful that the church is here today. And it'll also be the reason that the church is here 10 years from now. Well, we've got a pastor that's going to stay here for a while. I sure hope so. If you notice, I said 2014 to the rapture. Amen. Just stay here. Hopefully God will never move me. I don't want to. But I'll tell you what, a preacher doesn't make a great church. I think you know that. A church makes a great church. The people loving one another, living one for another, that makes a great church. We got to focus on each other. Pastor, aren't we supposed to win the lost? Yes. Yes, win the lost, evangelize. Tell people about Jesus Christ. But if they get saved and they come to this church saying, well, there's not much of a family here, there's not much love here, maybe I was wrong about this Christianity stuff. How quick do you think they'll fall away? Not that they should, but it's easier for them too. So I'm going to ask you to let down some walls. Get involved in somebody else's life. Be a genuine and real help as we all seek to follow Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, you're like, I'd like to join Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'd like to actually become a member. I want to do that. Man, I encourage you. I'll be standing at the back on the way out. Just talk to me and say, preacher, let's set a time.